about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now I'm going to read that passage one more time. That was verses 4 through 9. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then a passage found in the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Reading those three verses again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of our children. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to be co-workers working along with you in helping to mold and shape and guide them to seek to become the godly boys and godly girls you'd have them to be, who will grow up to become godly men and godly women that will live for you, who will be men and women after your own heart. Father, we don't know how to do that as parents ourselves. We don't know how to help our children and our grandchildren to really go after you in and of ourselves, but your Holy Spirit does. Help us, Lord, to learn to live every day in cooperation with your word and your Holy Spirit, daily working towards helping them to be everything you've called them to be. And Lord, help us to recognize, but especially for those parents that may be discouraged at where their children might be today. Help us to know, Lord, that you love them more than we, the parents, do. And you know how to touch their hearts. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to not become weary in well-doing, to continue to leave them in your hands and to recommit them into your hands each and every day. And thank you for the opportunity to do that. And guide us and teach us by your Holy Spirit how to be the effective and fruitful parents in helping to mold and shape them that you want us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'd like to remind you once again about the upcoming very important outreach project, Operation Tank Full of Love, an event that will take place on September 17th. But we invite you to help Urban Family and American Family Radio and Eric Horner Ministries reach out to those who defend our freedoms. It's our chance to say thank you to those who've sacrificed so much in the military of our nation. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us say thank you to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know that we're proud of them and we appreciate all that they do. Donations for the fuel are needed to reach the goal, and 100% of that which is raised will go towards blessing our troops through this project. So to contribute or for more information, you can go online to tankfulloflove.com. Again, that's tankfulloflove.com. Or you can call this number, 1-877 1-877-968-3742. Again, that's 1-877-968-3742. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at specifically the topic of planting the word in the hearts of our children. And you know, the fact is, any parent, dad or mom, and grandparents and granddads and grandmoms as well, again, the reality is it's important for us to know this is just a truth that our children are in our hearts. They always will be. And we want the best for our children. It's important for us to be reminded and to always, as best we can, keep in mind, the best thing in the world for our children is Jesus. The best thing in the world for our children is to know and to know how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of our goals as parents is to do all we can to help lead our children to Jesus Christ. And once they're saved, help them to grow up in their faith and learn how to walk faithfully day by day with the Lord. And so as we look at some of the passages in the Word of God that speak to that, I want to remind every parent listening, whatever the age of your children, remember, we're co-workers with God. We work alongside the Holy Spirit. And remember, God wants to see our children grow up to become godly men and women more than we do. And so it's important to know, too, we're to take our guidance, our wisdom, our direction from the Lord. We don't know how to do it, but the Holy Spirit does. So we're to look to the Word of God and the Spirit of God for guidance and direction. Looking again at the passage we read earlier in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And keep in mind, there's a lot of insight in this short passage of scripture that we read. I want you to really pay attention to what the Lord is saying through it to us as parents. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, specifically starting at verse 4. Listen again to the words of direction God gives us here. And pay close attention to the details. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Shemitah. And it tells us, going on verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now notice, God is talking to us as believers and as parents. And it says we're to have the Word of God in our hearts. So we need to be students of the Word of God, not only for the sake of our own spiritual growth and maturity. We need to be students of the Word of God for the sake of our children. Because it's as we put the Word in our heart, the Word of God, amongst other things, is fuel for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to do more, to reach through us and help our children grow stronger in the Lord as well. So we need to have the Word in our hearts. So again, picking up at verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, there are many important truths and insights found in this short passage, but amongst other things, one of the points God is trying to make very clear to us is, as parents, we need to make it a high priority to instill the Word of God into our children. That's just a critical, that's a must. It's one that we've got to make one of the high priorities of our life as parents in molding and shaping our children. So as we, on many occasions, have mentioned on our broadcast here, and we want to remind you today, parents, when your children are small, you and I, we're very wise to make a habit to regularly, daily, have our children come before us and to sit down, for example, in the living room, maybe at the kitchen table, maybe in the bedroom, but to read out loud the Word of God to us. Now, keep in mind, that's good for your children, whether they seem to appreciate it or not. And often they may not seem to appreciate it at all. In fact, sometimes children may see it as a burden. But keep in mind, it's kind of like you telling them to eat their greens. It's good for them. God's Word nourishes the minds and the hearts of our children, whether they perceive it or not. It's good for them. It pours grace, peace, power, and strength into their mind and their heart. There's nothing our children need more than the Word of God. Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. So if we're faithful to do this, to regularly have our children sit down and read for us, again, it's pouring grace, peace, power, blessing, and encouragement into the mind and hearts of our children. Again, remember, we live in a world full of weapons of mass distraction. So many things to take up our time, our effort, and our energy. And remember this, when time is wasted, remember, when time is gone, it's gone. Wasted time is wasted life. And so, and vice versa. it's important to know, too, that, you know, time is one thing you can't get any more of. And so once a day is gone, it's gone. Once a week is gone, it's gone. Once a month, a year, a lifetime. When it's gone, it's gone. So we have to be wise stewards of our time. And part of that, as parents, is if we help our children get into the Word of God, remember the Word of God is, amongst other things, it's seed. And the more you plant the seed of God's Word, there's more for the God to bring up into fruition in their lives. So help plant the Word of God in your children's hearts and lives every single day. So, for example, if you just simply have your child just to come to read Genesis chapter 1, remember this. Whether the child is very gracious about, your son or daughter gracious about reading, or if they're reading and their tone of voice tells you they don't want to do this at all, that's okay. Have them read anyway, because remember, the Word of God is going to bless them and pour grace and mercy and strength into their mind and their heart, even if they don't want it to. Because when they read it, remember, when a child, or really when any person is reading the Word of God, you are engaging God. Remember, the Word of God and God are one. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So when your child is reading the Word of God, they're engaging God. They're interacting with God. And the fact is, God begins to speak to their mind, their heart, and their life. And even if they're trying to be resistant, if they keep reading, the Word and the Spirit of God will work on them. And they need the Word and the Spirit of God to work on them. Parents, let's be very, very diligent about trying to teach and train our children to do that, to carry out that very important activity of reading God's Word every single day. Lord, thank you for this opportunity you give us as parents to teach and train our young children to read your Word daily. Help us as parents to be wise enough to make this a high priority in our day. Help us to be wise enough to turn off the TV, turn off the internet, turn off the, set down the, set aside the cell phones, and turn off all these weapons of mass distraction. And help us, Lord, to make this one of the high priorities of our day. Whatever time of day we choose to do it that works for our family schedule, Lord, help us to know that this is so, so important. And help us to not be so caught up in doing other things that we just don't get around to it. Lord, guide us and help us to better understand that in the course of a day, we can do what we choose to do. And that if we're wise, godly parents, we will make it one of the high priorities of calling our sons and our daughters before us to read your Word out loud. And thank you, Lord, for the ways that as the seeds of your Word gets into their minds and their hearts, thank you for all the fruit that will come. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many ways in which your Word will bless our children, will strengthen them, will point them to you, and will begin to work on them in good and positive ways. No matter how busy we are, Lord, help us to learn to stop other things or set other things aside and take the time to do this. Help us also, Lord, as parents of adult children, to encourage them, to pray for them daily, and encourage them, too, to get into the Word. Help us to even make it a point to invite them to pray or to read the Word out loud to us sometimes, maybe when they're in our presence or when they're on the phone. But, Lord, help us to know, Lord, that no matter what our children's age, if they will but read the Word of God, that it will work on them, it will bless them, it will encourage them, and it will point them to you. Thank you for how that your Word is powerful all by itself. Thank you for the fact that your Word is full of grace, full of blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your Word is pregnant with the ability to bless. Help us to make it, just make more and more time in our own lives, but also in the lives of our children, helping them and encouraging them to read it, to meditate on it, to think on it, and to allow it to work on them. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
How would you distinguish between a modern-day contract and God's ancient covenant? For one thing, in a contract, two or more human beings come together looking for mutual advantage. They study a situation, negotiate, and finally say, "We have reached an agreement." Contracts usually concern money, property, or services. With God's covenant, Abraham never approached God at the bargaining table. God simply said, "This is what I have to offer." The covenant hinged on Abraham's faith in God and in the certainty that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God says a thing, then that settles it. By faith, we have inherited God's covenant with Abraham. Through it, God promised us eternal, abundant life. Can you believe God today for the covenant and thank Him? Ask God to give you the will to serve Him faithfully and know that God will always keep His word. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Let it rise.
You're listening to William Murphy, Let It Rise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of planting the word in the hearts of our children, and we're encouraging every parent, and for those that are grandparents raising young children as well, or those that are working with children, remember, helping your children to read God's word every day needs to be a great, great priority. Remember, amongst other things also, there's lots of darkness in the world. There's much darkness that's being consumed by our children through so much of television, through movies, through many video games, and through so many things that our children are spending so much time listening to, watching, or being engaged by. And the fact is, they're filling their hearts and their minds with so, so much darkness. It's tragic how much darkness our children are consuming today. God's word is pure light. It's pure light. And remember, light blesses them, strengthens them, it points them to God, and it helps them to draw closer to God as well. So when we're wise enough to make it a high priority to help our children to read the Word of God, and of course, obviously, it's wise for us to talk to them about what the Word means as well. But if we're wise enough to do that, it's going to bless them tremendously. So I want to encourage you, parents, if you haven't done it already, today is a good day to start that habit of having your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you. And again, parents, for those that think 3 chapters is a lot, now, parents, I want you to keep in mind and use just a little bit of very important common sense and wisdom here. The fact is, our children are well able to do all kinds of things as we help them to do them. Children will sit through a 30-minute sitcom, a 2-hour movie, and there are many things they'd like to do. Again, you can read your average 3 chapters in about maybe 15 minutes or so. They will survive. In fact, it's going to bless them. And many times even the children themselves will perceive it. I often may think of instances where one or more of my children, when they were small, when I would have them to read, and they would begin, and I'd tell them, no, come on, read. And they'd give me an excuse. I'm tired. I'm playing a video game. I don't feel like reading right now. And I'd say, come on, read anyway. And often they would start to read, but you could sense attitude all in their reading. Their attitude was saying, I really don't want to be doing this, and I'm doing it only because you're making me do it. But they'd read anyway. And so their voice would be full of attitude. But as they slowly but surely began to read, you could tell the attitude was fading. And after a while, you could sense their tone of voice, through their tone of voice, that they're getting into it, that they're being blessed and encouraged by it. And sometimes they may stop and ask a question about what they're reading. So you can tell that they've basically forgotten about that attitude, and they're beginning to be blessed and encouraged and drawn into the precious Word of God as they read and meditate on it. Parents, be wise enough to help your children read whether they want to or not. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, a powerful story about a godly woman by the name of Hannah. I want to draw a few things out for you, but I'm going to want to share the chapter. 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had 2 wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she'd weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. A powerful story, and of course a true story, but at the same time a story with many important truths and insights for any family that wants to live for the Lord. Notice, as the story begins, Hannah is a young wife who longs to have a son. She desperately desires to have a son. And of course, you see, obviously, she's one of the two wives of Elkanah. And now keep in mind, again, God worked through that situation. God's ideal was that there would be one man and one wife. And Old and New Testament, that was God's goal. But of course, God allowed, he did allow it to happen in the Old Testament. It's not something God wanted, but he did allow it in that case. But Hannah was one of the two wives, and there was rivalry, obviously. The other wife would make fun of Hannah because she had no children. And that made life even more difficult for her, because she longed to have a child. But her anguish or her desire led to her crying and being upset and being disturbed. But nothing changed until Hannah did one very important thing. She prayed. She went to God in prayer to ask him for the desire of her heart. And it was, the desire was specifically to have not just a baby, but specifically a baby boy. She wanted a son. Well, you may ask, is it okay to ask specifically for what you want? Sure, you can ask what's on the desire of your heart. Now remember, God has the bottom line and the final say. But it's okay to ask God for what's on your heart. She asked God for a son, and let God know, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you." And God heard her prayer. And just to make a long story short, God answered Hannah's prayer and gave her a son, and his name was Samuel. And of course, the name Samuel itself refers to, "I asked him of the Lord." And so Samuel is born. And during that time, one of the problems that was going on in that day and time was Israel had some corrupt and wicked so-called priests or preachers. And God was wanting a faithful priest that would serve him faithfully and honor him in the way he carried himself. And so God found a young woman that would pray and dedicate her child fully to God. And that's what he found in Hannah. So Hannah received what she wanted, and God got what he wanted as well. Remember this, somehow or another, God has connected himself to prayer. And it's when God's people pray that God's work gets done. And when God's people don't pray, sometimes things that God wants to happen do not happen. Well, of course, so Samuel is born. And Samuel, too, of course, he's raised in the temple. He's raised largely by working alongside Eli the priest. And he grows up to be a man fully given to God. And, of course, he, too, like his mother, becomes a great prayer warrior. This is a powerful and a wonderful story, parents, for you to have your children read for you, and you talk to them about it. And, you know, at the end, something very powerful and a very wise thing for every parent to be mindful of is that notice what Hannah does with her son. After he's born, she brings him to the temple and dedicates him fully to God. Notice again the last two verses of the chapter, verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Now, to every single parent listening, no matter what your child or children's age might be, whether they're 5 years old or 50 years old, whatever their age, you are wise to do exactly what Hannah did. You lend your child to God. Now, whether your child is saved and living for the Lord, or even if it seems your child is running in the totally opposite direction, remember, Dad and Mom, you will always have grace and power in the lives of your children. God entrusted those children to you, and you will always have grace, favor, and power with those children. And one of the things you have the privilege of doing is the same thing Hannah did, lending them to God. In other words, letting God know, God, this child is your property. This child belongs to you. I'm dedicating this child to you. So you have a claim on this child, Lord. And do you know what? God likes having that claim. And parents are wise to do that. And parents, it's wise for us to actually do that over and over and over again. Remind God that you've lent that child, that son, that daughter to the Lord, and that he has a claim on that child's life. And so parents, also one of the ways whereby you can sort of reinstate that claim, every day when you have your children to read the Word of God, it's a way to, in a sense, replace them in God's hands. You're putting the Word into their lives, putting the Word in their minds and their hearts, and it's a way of kind of moving them more and more in the direction of that claim that's on their life. So I want to encourage every parent, if you've never done it before, today is a good day to lend all of your children to God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to work with you to help mold and shape our children into that which you want them to be. Thank you, Lord, for each of our children. Thank you for all the children of every single person listening today. Father, today by faith, Lord, we lend each of our children afresh into your hands. Lord, they're your property, and we want you to use them for your glory and work through their lives for your kingdom and for your work and your will, Lord. Help each of them to walk in all the call of God upon their lives, in spite, and even if they seem to be running in the other direction, Lord, you know how to touch them and reach them wherever they might be. Lord, we replace them in your hands, and Lord, because they've been lent to you, Lord, again, we're believing you, Lord, that you will do what you desire to do in their lives and through their lives. Make each of them to be the blessing to the world you want each of them to be. And Lord, help us to be faithful to teach and train and encourage them to be in your word every single day and thus receive the blessings of being full of your word. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We're looking at the topic of planting the word in the hearts of our children. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says blessings are meant to be passed on. But how do you pass on the blessing of life itself? He offers this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In the movie The Hanging Tree, Gary Cooper is a doctor. He's a medical doctor. He would help hurting people. There was a young man who was shot, and he was bleeding to death. Gary Cooper came and dug the bullet out of him and brought him back to life and to health. When the young man got well with his life being saved, he said, "Doc, what can I do for you? You saved my life." He said, "I'll tell you what you can do for me. You can come alongside of me and become my assistant and help me save other folks' lives. In fact, I want you to do it for the rest of your life, because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't delivered you. Do you know where you would be if God hadn't delivered you? Do you know where you would be if God hadn't intervened on the cross?" When you grab that and remember that and are passionate about that, coming alongside and serving with him isn't a problem. It's an opportunity, a privilege, and a passion. So to serve is to assist in the well-being of others. It is based on the humility that recognizes that I've been set free. You are free even if you don't feel free right now. Even if you don't look free right now, you can now spend your time thanking God for your freedom while serving to discover how free you really are.
Learn more about the importance of having a servant's heart in Dr. Evans' message series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Is God good, saints? Is God good all the time?
Let the words of
music from. The music is from The Mighty Clouds of Joy, the song Order My Steps. That song's been around a little while. Beautiful and a powerful message, though. Order My Steps. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of planting the word in the hearts of our children. And for every single parent listening, and again, parents and grandparents and those that work with young people, a very wise priority for us is helping our children to get into the reading of God's word every single day. Remember, the word of God will always bless those who will take and consume that word. So as we help our children to read it every day, it's going to bless them, and it's going to work on them in some good and positive and wonderful ways. Remember, God's word is the most wonderful gift in all of life. And, you know, sometimes when you buy something from the store, you read the words, for best results, follow the instructions of the manufacturer. Well, God's word is the instruction manual for life. And when we help and guide our children to read the word of God, we're helping them to read and to take in the source of all wisdom, the source of all grace, the source of all insight and understanding about life. And so helping them to read God's word is such a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So for best results in life, follow the instructions of the manufacturer of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, He's the manufacturer, He's the maker, the sustainer of all of life, and He created the whole world and all the people in it. So as we help our children get into the Word, it's going to bless them tremendously. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, we find the Ten Commandments, and we're going to take time now to pray through the Ten Commandments. I'd like to remind every parent listening again, if you're not helping your children to read or to pray the Ten Commandments every day, today is a good day to start. Now remember, it may take all of about a minute and 15 seconds to pray the Ten Commandments, but it's so productive. It's so fruitful because remember, when you pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work in that matter about which you pray. So when you pray and ask the Lord, and when you're guiding your children to pray and ask the Lord to help you to put Him first, and you're teaching your children to ask the Lord to help him to put Him first, you know the Holy Spirit knows how to help your son or your daughter to do that. And so we're wise to help and encourage them to pray each of the Ten Commandments every single day. Let's take time to pray them through even now. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us, Lord, today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. And help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, to every parent listening, remember this. That is much more productive than you probably think it is. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is ready there to help carry that out once you asked for that. And so when we help our children to pray the Ten Commandments every single day, it's going to bless them every single day. And it's also going to help them to draw closer and closer to the Lord. It's also going to allow the grace of God to work in and upon them more and more every single day. Parents, if you're not doing it already, today is a good day to start helping your children to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. And remember, the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. That, too, is a good passage to have your children read through. And I would like to remind you, too, I want to encourage your parents to get an easy reading translation for your children. King James is a wonderful translation, but keep in mind there are some translations, for example, even New King James is a bit easier to understand and other translations out there. Now, Dr. Woodrow Kroll said the best translation is the one you're going to read. So the one you're going to read, just put it to good use. But it's a wise thing to get an easy reading translation for your children to understand, get a translation that will help them in that regard. I want to share with you an illustration story that we've shared before, but a powerful one, about a young lady by the name of Lexi. And it's a reminder of the fact that when our children have the Word of God planted in their hearts and their minds, even when they go through difficulty, when they run into difficult circumstances in life, the Word of God planted in their lives can help them to make wise decisions. Sometimes our children have made unwise decisions, but remember, when they keep making unwise decisions, they can be digging a deep hole deeper in their lives. But on the other hand, God's Word that's in their hearts and their minds that's been planted there can guide them to honor God and bring them back in the right direction. Let me share with you now Lexi's story. Lexi was 16 years old and a junior in high school when she met Adam. Lexi lived at home with her parents and had an older sister who was away at college. She was a Christian, had been raised in church, and tried to live a good life. She was one of those pretty girls who didn't know she was pretty. She'd never had a real boyfriend before and was flattered when Adam started talking to her. Adam was 18, a senior in high school, and on the football team. His family went to church on Easter and Christmas, but he never made a commitment to Christ. He was a smart and very good-looking young man, very handsome from Lexi's point of view. Lexi was surprised when Adam started talking to her. She didn't consider herself his type. She didn't consider herself pretty enough or popular enough for Adam, but she really enjoyed the attention Adam gave her. When Adam asked Lexi to go to a basketball game with her, she quickly said yes. She was a little irritated when her parents insisted on meeting him before the game, but she guessed she could understand. They didn't know his family, and it was her first real date. She had a great time with Adam that night. Adam was funny, easy to talk to, and very handsome. She still couldn't quite believe that he liked her. They continued to date, and her parents allowed her to go out once a week with a strict curfew at 11. Sometimes when she and Adam were together, he would say things that made her feel a little uncomfortable in one way, but made her feel pretty in another way. He would tell her how beautiful she was, or how a certain pair of jeans looked on her. One day, Adam was frustrated because he was having problems in one of his algebra classes. Math had always been easy for Lexi, so she offered to help him. They decided to study for a couple of hours after school once a week. Even though Lexi knew her parents would never approve, she allowed Adam to come over after school to her house to study. Her parents weren't at home, and he would be gone by the time they got home. As long as she worked on her homework and had dinner started by the time her parents came home, her mom would never know. The first couple of times that Adam came over, they did exactly what they'd planned to do, study. Just sitting beside Adam at the kitchen table made her heart beat faster. But on the third afternoon, when Adam came over to study, he was different. He started kissing her. They never opened a book to study. He came over the next afternoon, and they immediately started to get physical. Before she knew what had happened, Lexi had done something she never thought she would do. She didn't plan to have sex with Adam. It just happened. She felt awful afterwards, but she knew she really loved him, so she justified it in her mind and decided that it was okay. They continued to have a sexual relationship, even though she knew it was wrong. Adam was just so hard to say no to. Besides the guilt she was feeling, she started worrying that her parents would find out that Adam was coming over in the afternoons, so she told him that he would have to stop coming over. Adam didn't like it, but he did stop. A little later, a few days later, Lexi was at an overnight party with two of her best friends. They'd stayed up late and planned to sleep in the next day, but Lexi woke up suddenly at 6 in the morning feeling horribly sick. She ran to the bathroom, making it just in time before she got very, very sick. Her friend's mom heard her and got up to help and wondered if she'd eaten something the night before that made her sick. Lexi continued to get sick several mornings in a row, and she started to get very scared. Finally, she told her friend Anna that she was afraid that she might be pregnant. Anna was shocked, but encouraged her to go to the local pregnancy center for a pregnancy test. Anna went with her. Lexi sat in the waiting room, feeling afraid and very nervous, almost panicking and feeling very embarrassed. When the lady at the clinic told her that the test was positive, that she was pregnant, she felt like she was going to faint. Everyone there at the clinic was very kind and thoughtful, and when she saw the tiny heartbeat on the sonogram, it really hit her. It really came home, and she realized she was really pregnant. Telling her mom and dad was one of the hardest things Lexi had ever done. Her dad cried, and it broke Lexi's heart. Over the next several days, Lexi and her mom fought a lot. Everyone was just so stressed out. Lexi practiced how she would tell Adam. She just wanted Adam to tell her that they would get through this together and that he would support her. After she told Adam, Adam didn't say anything at first. He just sat there silently. Then he turned to Lexi and said, "What are you going to do?" No hugs, no support, no words like "we'll get through this together." He told her that he was sure that her parents would pay for an abortion. Lexi was shocked. "An abortion?" she asked. She started feeling that panic feeling again. The next weekend, she and her parents met with Adam and his parents to discuss the whole matter. It was awful. It was almost like Lexi was the bad girl and she had done and that she had done wrong and that Adam hadn't done anything wrong at all. His parents even asked how they could be sure it was Adam's baby. Lexi was stunned. She'd never been involved sexually with anyone else but Adam. But the worst part was the look on Adam's face when his parents said that. He looked like he agreed with his parents and wanted to know the same thing. He didn't take up for her at all. Lexi had never felt more alone in all her life. She wanted to pray, but she just felt too ashamed to even talk to God. The next weekend, after several sleepless nights, Lexi and her friend Anna drove out of state to an abortion clinic. She didn't believe in abortion, but she was desperate. She decided that she would tell her family and Adam's family that she'd had a miscarriage and everything would go back to normal. Lexi felt like her heart was beating 200 times a minute as she lay on the surgical table in the abortion clinic waiting for the abortion to start. She just wanted everything to be over. She was alone. She felt so alone except for the nurse who was working at the counter. Lexi cried, and as she cried, she whispered a prayer, "Father, please forgive me." Suddenly, a thought ran through her mind. Words she had memorized in Sunday school many years ago, words from the Word of God that said, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." Jeremiah 1:5. At that moment, Lexi stopped crying. As she remembered the Word of God that had been planted in her heart so many years ago, it touched her heart. She sat straight up. She got off the table quickly. The nurse said, "Wait, what are you doing?" But Lexi didn't wait. She walked into the room next door, where she changed clothes and she got dressed once again. She found Anna, and together they left the abortion clinic. On the drive home, Lexi decided that she would get through this somehow. She didn't know how, but she would trust God to help her to get through it. She would keep her baby. In June, a 7-pound baby boy was born. She knew with God's help, God would get it through it. A touching and a powerful story, a great reminder that Lexi, too, she remembered the word that had been planted in her heart all those years earlier. And the word helped her make the right decision. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.